It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
Without the expansion, the Affordable Care Act no longer really fits together. It leaves big holes in health insurance coverage, adversely affecting low-income people. So any way you look at this... This is a great deal for states to take the opportunity to expand coverage for low-income people in their states, and it's paid for by the federal government. We estimate that this will bring $2 billion a year in federal funding into Virginia, and that money will be used both in the healthcare industry and throughout Virginia's economy.
Health law attorney Jill Henkin at the Virginia Poverty Law Center discusses the minimal costs and huge benefits of Medicaid expansion that Virginia may foolishly decline, which would turn down $29 billion in federal money that would insure 400,000 Virginians and create 30,000 jobs. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll learn how significantly reduced funding provided by Congress has closed public offices at the Social Security Administration 6 or 7 hours a week. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 191, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Effective November 19, 2012, Social Security field offices nationwide started closing to the public 30 minutes early each day. In addition, beginning January 2, 2013, offices will close to the public at noon every Wednesday. While agency employees will continue to work their regular hours, this shorter public window will allow them to complete face-to-face interviews and process claims while not incurring the cost of overtime. The significantly reduced funding provided by Congress under the continuing resolution for the past 6 months makes it impossible for the agency to provide the overtime needed to handle service to the public as it has done in the past. However, visits to a local office are not required for many services, including applying for retirement, disability, or Medicare benefits, signing up for direct deposit, replacing a Medicare card, obtaining a proof of income letter, or notification of a change of address or telephone. Social Security can be reached at www.socialsecurity.gov or toll-free at 1-800-772-1213. People who are deaf or hard of hearing may call a TTY number, 1-800-325-0778. And many online services are available in Spanish at www.segurosocial.gov. In other news, last month, the National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty released a report showing that, for many low-income renters, the Protecting Tenants at Foreclosure Act is all that stands between housing and homelessness. But if Congress fails to act, that law will expire at the end of 2014. Homelessness has risen dramatically since the beginning of the foreclosure crisis, including a 16% increase among families in major cities. But while public attention has been focused on homeowners, research shows that 40% of families facing evictions due to foreclosures are renters. The report, Eviction Without Notice, reveals that many states lack adequate protections for renters of foreclosed properties. If not for the Protecting Tenants at Foreclosure Act, lenders would have the right to kick families in good standing out of their homes without notice in the majority of states. Passed in 2009, the law guarantees renters the right to remain in their home through the end of the lease, or, if they have no lease, for a minimum of 90 days with notice before eviction. This critical law, set to expire after 2014 if Congress does not act, has prevented eviction and homelessness for millions of people. The full report is available at www.nlchp.org. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Happy 2013, and welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, and we are speaking with healthcare attorney Jill Henkin. We will be discussing Medicaid expansion. Welcome back to the show, Jill.
Hi, Marty.
So I understand that the Affordable Care Act has a lot of different ways that the country is going to get close to universal health care within the next year. Could you tell our listening audience what are those various ways?
One of the primary goals of the Affordable Care Act is to get affordable and quality health insurance to nearly all Americans. And there are two main parts of that expansion of health insurance. Number one, there'll be new marketplaces that we call the health benefit exchanges, where people will be able to shop for, compare, and purchase private health insurance and receive federal tax subsidies to help them pay for that private insurance. And in Virginia, that health benefit exchange is expected to serve over 100,000 Virginians who don't get health insurance on their jobs. The other main way to expand coverage would be through a Medicaid expansion, which is an option for the states to choose. And this is going to be one of the biggest issues in Virginia's General Assembly session coming up for the legislature to make a decision on this issue.
And tell us why this is an option for the state to choose.
Well, it is part of the Federal Affordable Care Act, but when the U.S. Supreme Court reviewed the constitutionality of the law, while it upheld all parts of the law, it found that the Medicaid expansion couldn't be forced upon the states, that states had to be able to choose whether to expand their Medicaid rolls to cover people with income up to 138% of the poverty line, which is about $15,000 a year for an individual and $32,000 a year for a family of four. So the Supreme Court actually made the Medicaid expansion an option for states, and that's why we see activity all around the country where individuals are discussing this and advocating for the expansion, because without the expansion, the Affordable Care Act no longer really fits together. It leaves big holes in health insurance coverage, adversely affecting low-income people.
And before we discuss those big holes, which we definitely want to, I think we need a baseline about Virginia's current Medicaid program, which I gather is not amongst the most generous, to put it lightly.
No, Virginia has a very lean program with restrictive eligibility. We do okay for children and pregnant women by covering kids up to about 200% of the poverty line, which would translate into about $44,000 a year for a family of four. But we do very little for low-income parents and adults who don't have children. In fact, our Medicaid program is ranked 48th in per capita Medicaid spending, and our eligibility for low-income parents is ranked 44th. Parents in Virginia can only get Medicaid if their income is under 30% of the poverty line, which means under $10,000 a year for a family of four. And individuals without children who are not disabled or pregnant can't get Medicaid at all, no matter how low their income is. So we have huge gaps right now in our current Medicaid program, and this is what results in the fact that 1 million Virginians are uninsured.
So this new Medicaid expansion, it does away, I gather, with all of these various income levels for this category, income level for this category. It sets one standard. And what is exactly that going to do for Virginia?
The new income level, and it will be a national income level, will be set at 138% of the poverty line. Again, about $15,000 a year for an individual and $32,000 a year for a family of four. And the estimates are that over 400,000 Virginians who are currently uninsured, low income, 400,000 Virginians could benefit if Virginia was to expand its program. So it's huge. It's just a huge change that would bring so many more people the opportunity to have health insurance, which in turn brings them access to preventive care, care for their chronic conditions. And when people have insurance, it enables them to get care at the right time and in the right place. Too often people resort to emergency room care, often uncompensated care, which ends up costing the rest of us money.
And talking about money, how does this Medicaid expansion get paid for?
Well, this is one of the most important things that people need to understand. The federal government, according to the Affordable Care Act, the federal government will pay 100% of the cost of the Medicaid expansion for its first 3 years, fully paid for by the federal government. And then after the first 3 years, the amount of the federal funding reduces gradually, but then gets no less than 90%. So any way you look at this, this is a great deal for states to take the opportunity to expand coverage for low-income people in their states, and it's paid for by the federal government. We estimate that this will bring $2 billion a year in federal funding into Virginia. And that money will be used both in the healthcare industry and throughout Virginia's economy. In fact, the Senate Finance Committee, in a recent report, estimated that this federal money, the infusion of federal money, would support 30,000 jobs in Virginia, and we certainly could use that right now. So it's really a win-win. It's a win for Virginia's citizens who need health insurance. It's a win for Virginia's businesses who could use a boost, and it's a win for Virginia's overall economy, which also can very well use this infusion of federal dollars to support economic activity.
And so over that 10-year period where the state would get $20 billion in federal money, how much would the state of Virginia have to put up over that same 10-year period?
A fraction. The estimates are that Virginia's share of cost, and that would happen when the federal matching rate reduces from the 100% to down to 90%, Virginia's share would be about $1 billion compared to the $20 billion. And when you spread that over the 10-year period and see what that means, it's really a very small fraction increase of our current Medicaid program. So I know the numbers sound large, but when you look at the whole picture, it's really a small bump up for Virginia's obligation. And in turn, we get this huge influx of federal dollars.
And what would happen to those federal dollars if they don't come to Virginia?
Well, we know that many states are actively preparing to expand their Medicaid rolls on January 1st, 2014, when this expansion can take effect. So the money basically goes to support other states instead of the needs of Virginians. You know, we all pay federal income taxes, and I would much rather see my federal income taxes come back to Virginia to help Virginians who have such a great need.
Now, of course, Governor McDonnell last month announced that in his budget he is not proposing the Medicaid expansion. Of course, it's not the governor's decision, it's that of the General Assembly. But why would anyone not support the expansion that we're talking about? What are the reasons that are being used to not go for this expansion, and what would be your response to those reasons?
Well, Governor McDonald did not really explain his decision, except to say that he thought the Affordable Care Act was inflexible and too expensive. So I didn't hear a clear rationale for his decision not to use the federal funding to expand the program for nearly half of Virginia's uninsured citizens. Other legislators have expressed concern about the federal government's ability to keep to its pledge to pay the 100% for 3 years and 90% thereafter. And my response to them is that, well, the law's in place today. It's been upheld as constitutional. The money is available to start this program in January of 2014, and the opportunity to provide insurance and to receive such a large influx of funding to help people and help Virginia's economy just seems like an opportunity that's just too good to pass up. We can't predict what the future holds, and we'll deal with it when we get there.
What happens, though, if Virginia, foolishly, in my view, does not go for the Medicaid expansion, and these 400,000 people who are currently uninsured and would be covered by the Medicaid expansion don't get Medicaid? I mean, a year from now, they will be required to have health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. What are those people going to do?
The other aspect of the Affordable Care Act that does require most people to have insurance, so everyone's going to have to look carefully at their situation and look at the exchange to see if that's a place for them to get private insurance if they don't get health insurance through their employers. But there are some exceptions to the requirement that everyone have insurance, and some of those exceptions relate to the individual's financial ability to afford insurance. So most of these people who would qualify for the Medicaid expansion will not be subject to that individual mandate to have insurance. But that's not the end of the story. I mean, they won't be subject to the mandate, won't be subject to penalties, but the end result is that they remain uninsured. And if Virginia does not adopt the expansion, we create this enormous gap between people eligible for our current limited Medicaid program and people who could get private insurance through the exchange. I mean, the law doesn't even allow people with income under 100% of the poverty line to go to the exchange. So we have a huge chasm, a huge gap in coverage that just remains. And all of the human consequences and economic consequences of all these folks remaining uninsured will just continue.
So let me see if I understand. If we don't do the Medicaid expansion, those parents of children who can't get Medicaid unless they're under 30% of the federal poverty limit, those people who are over 30% and under 100%, they're completely out in the cold. They can't get Medicaid. They can't get the subsidy for the exchange. There's nothing for them.
That's right.
Well, the General Assembly starts, of course, a week from today, and it'll be a short session. I'm sure a lot will be happening. But I understand that between now and the General Assembly starting, there are opportunities for just citizens to voice their opinions to the General Assembly. Would you tell us what those opportunities are?
Well, every year following the governor's submission of his budget, there are public hearings held throughout the Commonwealth where people can express their views about Virginia's budget. This year, there are 5 public hearings taking place all on January 4th. That's Friday, January 4th. And the closest one to the Richmond area is being held down at Virginia State University, a little bit north of Petersburg, in the Virginia Hall, the Anderson Turner Auditorium at Virginia State. And that public hearing starts at 12 noon. These public hearings are a great opportunity for the public to attend and express their opinions about Virginia's budget, Virginia's needs, and what the legislators should view as priorities. They're very well attended. People have 3 minutes to express their opinions, but anyone who has an interest in letting their opinions be known through that forum should really attend. And there are other public hearings being held in Manassas, Middleton, Virginia Beach, and Roanoke. But beyond that, throughout the year, people should feel free to communicate with their own legislators to express their views. And we think on this particular issue, the Medicaid expansion, legislators really need to hear from their constituents about this, because there are, as always, lots of politics swirling over an issue like this, and the legislators need to be informed about the concerns and opinions of their own constituents.
And lastly, if people want to find out more about the Medicaid expansion or about health care in Virginia in general, where should they go? What's a good resource for that?
Well, they could check out my website at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, www.vplc.org. But also there's a new consumer coalition called Virginia Consumer Voices for Healthcare. And through Virginia Consumer Voices for Healthcare, people can sign up to be kept informed of updates and alerts as the General Assembly goes forward. And that website is www.vaconsumervoices.org. Again, it's vaconsumervoices.org.
Well, thank you very much. We have been speaking with healthcare attorney Jill Hankin at the Virginia Poverty Law Center about Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act and the reasons why Virginia should exercise its option and take advantage of this great opportunity. Thank you so much for being on the show, Jill.
Thanks, Marty.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
I'm Michelle King for the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This week, we introduce a new segment called True Tales Where Justice Prevail. Here's the first legal aid success story. Jonathan contacted the Lower Shore Office of the Maryland Legal Aid Bureau concerned about his living conditions. Specifically, black mold was growing underneath the ceiling tiles and carpet of his mobile home. The mold had begun to affect the breathing of his young asthmatic son, and Jonathan was forced to send him to live temporarily with a relative until he could convince the landlord to address the situation. Unfortunately, the landlord refused to properly insulate the home and remedy the mold situation. Karen Dean, a staff attorney with Bureau, and paralegal Wanda Deal Fields investigated the situation, eventually representing Jonathan in escrowing his rent.
The mobile home was improperly insulated and condensation collected on the windows, soaking the curtains on a daily basis, says Dean. There were also holes leading directly outside throughout the home. I had asked for a 50% abatement of Jonathan's $100 a week rent, she recalls of the legal proceedings. Judge Patrick Heyman instead ordered that 100% of future rent was abated until the premises were certified mold-free by a testing lab. Just as nice, the landlord had brought a failure-to-pay-rent case for $712 in rent and late fees, Dean notes. Jonathan had not paid his rent in 7 weeks leading up to the escrow due to the conditions. The judge determined that the landlord had known about the conditions for a month and therefore reduced the amount owed to $300. No late fees even. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and that's this week's Legal Aid Success Story, a true tale where justice prevailed.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. The 2013 Virginia General Assembly session starts 1 week from today on Wednesday, January 9. Join us as our guest, Marco Grimaldi, CEO and President of the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy, discusses poverty, at-risk children, healthcare, immigration, and other issues that ought to be on the minds of our legislators. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.